is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend, Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, retired CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy CEO, reflecting upon the foreign policy achievements of Joseph Biden. More than 50 years in the Washington power centers, vice president, president, senator, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, extremely well informed, described to me most recently by a correspondent in Berlin as the last of the Atlanticists. Jeff, you're a NATO veteran. Does that warm your heart to hear that this is, that the Joseph Biden administration is an achievement for the Atlanticists? And who are they? Are you one, Jeff?
Yeah, I think I'm one, John. I think the Atlanticists are those who were, frankly, born around the time of the end of the Second World War, came to their careers during that particular conflict, were very strong supporters of NATO, went through the various crises that the United States confronted the Soviet Union, whether it was the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Yom Kippur War, Berlin, et cetera. Obviously, the war in Vietnam and things like that colored that, the Reagan years, the coming down of the wall. Those were the years of the Atlanticists. And I think the people that occupied the White House on both sides of the aisle largely embraced that notion. And that's why this coming election, John, to me is so interesting and so timely. You know, recently, Condoleezza Rice was speaking at the conference at the Aspen Institute. And she said, you know, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, so she used four different ones, are riding once again. They are isolationism, nativism, protectionism. That is what's going on. And this coming from a Republican, when she knows full well that the Republican candidate for president really embraces that particular, those particular aspects, is striking. But it suggests to you that that view of the world that both political parties had, of a world centered around the Atlantic, centered around NATO, centered around alliances in Asia as well as Europe, that that particular time may be coming to a close, while at the same time, we once again, and she pointed that out in her remarks, have great power confrontations, the United States in close confrontations or even cold wars with the Russian Federation, with China, both of whom are significant nuclear powers. And we know from our history, John, and you and I have talked about it before, those cold wars are just one mistake, one crisis away from becoming a hot war with real possibility of dramatic escalation.
So we move from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, and the confrontation is with the People's Liberation Army, Navy, and Air Force, very well equipped and extremely aggressive. And the Biden administration, that's what we're measuring here. Mr. Biden has started his term in office as president looking for accommodation with China. I would say right now the Biden administration has come full circle to understand that China is a predator state, that its bullying of Taiwan and the Philippines must be answered. Hence, the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Austin, is on his way to the East Asia to talk to Tokyo, to talk to Manila and others. And Jeff reminds me, Secretary of State Mr. Blinken's on his way as well. So my measure, Jeff, is that Mr. Biden and his administration have stood up and accepted the fact that there was not going to be no peaceful resolution unless we showed force. If you want peace, prepare for war. I measure the Biden administration as a success holding China back. How do you measure it in East Asia?
I would totally agree, John, though at the same time, it's important to keep in mind that the Chinese have had their own problems, which have caused them to a certain degree of pause, whether those are economic, social, et cetera. But clearly, Mr. Biden has followed not only an Atlanticist approach, but I was finishing a very good book recently, which was called The Internationalists. And of course, a Biden team that looked at the world more broadly. And from the beginning, I think the Biden administration sought to reinvigorate not only the NATO alliance in response to the aggression by the Russian Federation against Ukraine, but also sought to reinvigorate our alliances, which are bilateral across the Asia-Pacific region, to confront that particular threat of confrontation with the People's Republic of China. And now, in the aftermath of stepping down from the election campaign, I think we might see Mr. Biden continue that path or even expand upon it between now and the end of his particular administration, which will still go on until early January of next year.
Ukraine. a war nobody wanted, nobody saw. Certainly there wasn't any prospect of it when Mr. Biden took office, but within a year, the attack on Ukraine, which continues. The Biden administration has supplied everything Ukraine needs to hold off the Russians. However, we're in a transition right now with an election at hand. Ms. Harris, and there's no time yet for to speak to a developed foreign policy, but Ms. Harris endorsed Mr. Biden's successes and achievements and stands with her policy. So we can presume that there will be continuity in Ukraine. To what end, Jeff? What are we looking at now? We supply F-16s. We supply long-range missiles. Is that adequate to bring Putin to the table, or will the attacks continue indefinitely?
I think it's hard to say, John. The attacks will continue at least through this election. I'm still totally convinced that Mr. Putin firmly believes his willpower is stronger than the West. He firmly believes that if he hangs on, and Mr. Trump, frankly, is reelected in November, that will be the ultimate demise, not only of American support for Ukraine, but actually could be the ultimate demise of NATO in many ways, which is clearly his objective. In many ways, Ukraine, I would say, is a means to an end and not the objective, which is the ultimate destruction of NATO. And he could be right. I mean, it's frankly interesting. We've seen Mr. Trump in the recent debate full stop against continued military aid to Ukraine should he be elected. And it was at best skeptical of NATO. Many of his leading members of his previous cabinet, including his national security advisor, John Bolton, has said that he would pull the United States out of NATO if he was elected. At a minimum, I think he would neutralize or neuter the U.S. efforts in NATO. And then he nominated as his vice president the most outspoken critic of Ukrainian military aid in the entire Congress, J.D. Vance, with almost no foreign policy experience. Oh, by the way, I thought it was also remarkable, John, that none other than Foreign Minister Lavrov at the United Nations congratulated J.D. Vance for being nominated to be vice president of the United States and extolled his virtues as the kind of guy that we need to bring this war in Ukraine to a close.
An article recently appeared, you brought to my attention, about U.S. contractors in Ukraine. Is that available to the Biden administration now? Is that ready to go? Because contractors are within inches of being deployment.
No, it's certainly ready to go. And I think that's, again, something Biden might look to, because I'm pretty sure he can do that without any congressional authority, do that by an executive announcement. And I know for a fact, because I've talked to a number of them, there are many people in the United States in industry and elsewhere who are more than ready to provide that type of assistance to the Ukrainians. And in many ways as well, don't forget the alliance follows the American leadership. So there are similar groups who would be willing to provide contractual support to the Ukrainians for training, for maintenance, et cetera, on particular pieces of equipment in Great Britain, France, other places around Europe. So this would not necessarily be all Americans. Oddly enough, one of the most outspoken supporters for this particular effort is none other than retired Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. You might remember Vindman.
Yes.
He was a member of the National Security Council staff during the Trump administration and testified at Mr. Trump's impeachment hearings about the fact that Mr. Trump was holding up military assistance that had been mandated by Congress in order to try to extort dirt, if you will, on Mr. Biden in the run-up to the election back in 2020. And he was then summarily fired from the NSC staff by Mr. Trump.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army, CBS News, retired, CBS News active, visiting professor at Dickinson College in the great state of Pennsylvania, CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. The Biden administration, much more to say in coming weeks. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.